All right, we'll continue our series of messages on faith, that is the basics of faith, what we call faith basics. And today, like I said last time, I'm going to talk about what I call the believer's hope of victory. And I think that should take us two or three or maybe even four sessions of it. I'm not going to say things that are totally new. That's not my aim, to continue to say things that are totally new. The aim is to help us be established. There's something I saw today which, as I was reading Colossians chapter 1, which we're going to read now, and it just confirms something that I've been thinking for a while. You know, for those of us who are around, we co-workers in the morning, we had a meeting today, and I said something that a book, I told my wife I was going to write. I'm not sure I'll write it, but something I have in mind, some thoughts that I have. And it's titled, I called it 21st Century Dark Ages. What do I mean by 21st Century Dark Ages? It's that, if you know, there was a time the church was in the Dark Ages. The truth of the gospel was rare. All right, people were just following institutional order, and they were not really following the word of God. And we said it was the Dark Ages. It was when the church had become very political, when the head of the Catholic Church was appointing kings. That is, for you to be a king in Europe, you had to be ordained by the Pope. All right, that was a very serious matter. The church was very, very powerful, but as powerful as the church was, the word was missing. The word of God was missing. It's people like Martin Luther that rose up again and began to contest for the integrity of the Word of God and to insist that the Word of God must be respected and honored. That was when light came back into the body of Christ. Now, so we call those ages the Dark Ages. But, you know, we now think that we're in the age of light. And as a matter of fact, indeed, we're in the age of light. And the thing about it is that we can preach the truth, even though we disagree with institutions, yet we are not persecuted. Yes, we thank God for that, all right? But one thing I have noticed is that what is very popular, all right, is, I'm sorry to say this, is not actually the truth, all right? Churches are everywhere now, but one problem is coming. Those days, remember the days of the Dark Ages, politics was a very serious matter. That this church was very powerful. Right now, prosperity is our problem. Do you understand? Not just political power, but what? Prosperity. That is, we have become very powerful. And if you look at Nigeria, we are politically very powerful also. Governors who want to win elections go to church to go and talk to the pastors and explain why they should tell their people to vote for them. We have indeed become very powerful. The problem, however, is that if we are not careful, we get drunk with our power, all right? And we leave what is the true message of God. And that's why, having considered it, I felt like writing what I call the 21st century dark ages, in which the truth of the word of God is not very common anymore. And people are just doing things that that produce money, that make them more acceptable with people. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. And one thing you notice, and this is what I said I read from Colossians chapter 1, which is what is missing in our gospel. Quickly go there. We're going to continue from there. I'm talking about believers' hope of victory. But I just want to say that one briefly. We have to be careful. One day there's a man that's very popular for the things that he says, preaches, and is supposed to be a preacher. And a friend of mine, a preacher, called on the phone about 2 days ago. He said, "That man, I don't like listening to him." And I laughed. Ivan is very popular. If I mention the name of you, everybody will know him. What does not like listening to him? The summary is that he said what he preaches is not the gospel of Christ. It's human wisdom. And let me tell you something. Human wisdom is not a wickedness. Are you getting my point? It's not as if it's wickedness. All right? But if you wake up and you're a preacher, all you talk about is time management, how to manage money, how to be efficient. What you are saying, is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. It's good. Every Christian should learn it. But it's not the gospel. Are you getting my point? He said, "Look, that I don't listen to him. That I wrote him off long years ago. That everybody was singing his praise, but I listened to him. I said, this man is not preaching to me the gospel. So I don't listen to him." And that's what I mean by 21st century dark ages. We may say things that are good and nice, all right? But at the end of the day, we ask ourselves, are we preaching what Christ said we should preach? Are we preaching what the real gospel actually is? Colossians chapter 1, this is where we're going to start from today. The believer's hope of victory. I've been saying this for some time now, that life has spheres. You can live by the natural sphere, all right? You can try to use your intellect. Whatever you do, you decide the kind of sphere you want to live in. But we said there's a higher sphere in life, which is called this. Let me put another word, all right? The third heavens. That's just a joke, all right? But actually, what I mean is that this is the sphere in which the operative principle is what the Bible calls the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay? Which is what we call favor. One of the manifestations is favor. What do I mean? You may not be very skilled, all right, in arranging things. But when God is said to bless you, we send people that are more skilled than you to come and help you, and you command that they must help you. Do you get my point? So men who have gone to school, who have gone to study maybe some business skills, and they've been at it for 15 years studying hard, at the end of the day, they become your servants. Why? Because you are experiencing what the Bible calls the sure mercies of David. And the law of God is that if you're experiencing the mercies of David, all the skilled warriors must be at your beck and call. Are you getting my point? So even though you don't have the natural equipment for success, you discover that you are absolutely, fantastically successful. Why? Because you are operating in the sphere of the law of the Spirit of life, which is only found in Christ Jesus. I hope you are following the principle. We have been explaining that. So what we are supposed to do, all right, is to choose where we want to walk. I'm going to go over that thing again. That's essentially what I'm talking about, all right? Just need to add one or two things to it. But we'll talk about this when we're talking about the fruitful life. If you want to walk by your degrees, go ahead. If you want to go by the, certificates you have acquired, go ahead. There are those who believe that the way by which they are going to succeed and prosper in life is they gather all their parents' money and go and get an MBA from Harvard. Do you understand? It's called, to be carnally minded. Carnal mindedness is not fornication. I hope you get my point. It is not lying and cheating. Carnal mindedness means that you are using natural things to plot the course of your life. And what matters to you are the things that natural events say. It's called being a soothsayer like the Philistines. Do you get my point? When you finish all your machinations, you will work for the man who is operating the grace and the favor of God. That's the way it works. So you make up your mind, which sphere do you want to operate in? I'm not saying don't learn, don't get degrees, but I'm saying don't think they are the passports of prosperity. They are not. Christians prosper because God placed out a word there and said, you will prosper. Even if you fall asleep, you will prosper. Why? There is a commandment that guarantees that a man sleeping can prosper. He said he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. Are you getting my point? That is, a lot of the blessings you will get in life will come to you when you are not aware they were coming. I always say the day that Joseph began to prosper, you know what I mean, what we call prosperity now, it was a normal day in which he did not have anything to do with the thing that brought him into the place of prosperity. The king sent for him. It was not his planning. Listen, we must, you know, let me just say there, now I'm digressing, but before I read that, tell the scripture. What Christians, the reason why we Christians do things in life, I need to emphasize that to you, is because they are right, not because we are trying to get something from it. Are you getting my point? Let me give you a very practical and very silly example, all right? I have children. Do you know it has never crossed my mind that they will take care of me when I'm old? Did you hear what I said? It has never crossed my mind that one day I will be old and then Akinlu will be the one to pay for my food. Olugbenga will be the one to pay for my house. And now, listen, if you have to do that for parents, it is good. You hear what I said? It is very good. It is very good. But it has never crossed my mind that that's why I'm training the children. Are you getting my point? God forbid it not happen, all right? In the name of Jesus, it not happen. But if God were to reveal to me that in about 10 years' time, I will remove all your children from you, you think I will withdraw them from school because of that? No. They will still get the best that I can give them today. I will keep giving them. Do you know why? Because that's what parents are supposed to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what parents are supposed to do. It is not because we will get from them later. My faith in God, the promise of God I have over my life is that when I'm 100 years old, all right, and my son is a great grandfather himself, if he needs money, I will give him. Even though I have prayed that he will prosper more than I will prosper, but a time will not come that I will need to depend on him for anything. I will be giving blessings and material matters to my great-grandchildren. It has never crossed my mind that the reason why I'm taking care of my children is that when I grow up, they will take care of me. For what? I don't plan to be sick when I'm old. I will be fit. When I'm the age of 100, people will still gather the way you have gathered now to listen to me teach the word of God. I will still stand. All right? And be competing with the young men for who find pass. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's what I believe God for. So why do I do the things I do for my children? Because it is right. Because that's what parents are supposed to do. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Let me just turn it around briefly. That is why you may say, when I was very young, my father went and married a second wife. Therefore, he abandoned my mother and us. Now I have grown. My mother is the one that suffered for us. And your father is suffering right now, you know. His second wife is a thief. I mean, they often are. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So when he didn't prosper again, she quarreled with him and left him. And your mother couldn't take him back, you know. And you don't blame her. I don't blame her too. And now you are very rich. And you look at, you see? You see? And you are doing him toying. You know what they call toying? See, you don't catch up with him now. That's why I think, listen, my friend, that is ungodliness. What people do, what young prosperous men do, what young prosperous women do is to take care of their parents if they need to. You are not paying them back for the good they did you those days. Are you getting my point? Just like you are not investing for your children's future so that they will bless you back. In the same manner, you are not paying them back for the one that they did or did not do. You take care of them because it is right. If you're angry with him, I'm on your side. You should be angry. I mean, if you're not angry, you're not a human being. Even Jesus Christ is vexed. When he pulled out belts, begin whipping people inside the temple, what you think was out of rejoicing of his soul? It was out of vexation. I was listening to a message in my car. The Bible was talking about the infilling of the Spirit. He said, Christians think that spiritual people are those who never, they're always very humble. If you slap them, they'll say, amen, praise God. If a man slaps you, if you don't want to slap him back, quote scripture. Do you understand my point? The natural thing is to kick him somewhere. What I'm not saying is that spiritual people, they vex. That's the point that I'm making. So if you vex on your father for all the things that he did that time, I'm on your side. You should vex. Don't go and greet him. Why should you go and greet him? Don't worry. Don't go and greet him, but send him money. I know it doesn't have to become your best friend and you just and say what's happening in this country right now. I'm not. If you can do that, all well and good, the better. Are you following my point? But if you can't do that, don't worry about doing that. That's what I'm trying to explain. Don't feel under obligation that you must go and cross leg and be pushing draft with him. Say, daddy, don't play. Well, my turn. Listen, if you can do it, fine. But even though you are not able to do that, but that he must not go hungry is a commandment that you must obey. That his medicine must be regularly provided. That one, you don't. Is it? What I'm going to explain. You don't have to be his friend to give him money for medicine. You don't have to be his friend to ensure that there's roof over his head. You don't have to be his friend to ensure he's clothed. Why are you doing it? Because of the good things he did for you. Now, like, he didn't do any good thing for you apart from impregnating your mother. You know. But that one has made it a commandment over your head that you must provide for him if he's in need. So why do you do it? Because you want to pay him back? No, but because it is right. I don't know why I just decided to use as an example. The point I'm making here is this. Christians do things because it is right. That's why, you know, it's my personal ministry these days to help you to give money for the right reason. You understand my point? I was in full gospel 2 days ago when I finished preaching. One elderly man, I think the president of the chapter, he came and gave me a very big hug, an elderly hug. Say, this young man, God bless you. You have spoken my mind, you have told the truth. He was so happy. Because I was talking on tipping point decisions. I'll make the message available to you. And I said some truth. I said, all of you, you know now, you have given one offering because you want to prosper. Hear it now, you didn't prosper anything. The man was very happy I was saying it. Alright, so anyway, let me just get going on what I'm saying. So, we don't give money because of what we want to get. It is ungodly, it is wrong, it is not commanded by God. You cannot go to God and go and quote that I gave money, therefore you must give me back. You can't do that. I've said it 10,000 times, but Don't get tired. I'm going to say it 100,000 times. I only got in 10, because as long as I hear the rubbish I hear around, they have a saying in my part of the country. They say, lice will not finish on the head. Blood will not finish on the nails. And you go, they pick and they kill, and you won't say, I don't kill enough lice. You will keep killing it. As long as the false doctrine is pumping, I will continue to teach the truth. We don't give money because of what we are going to get. We don't look at Bill Gates and say, because you have plenty of money, you don't need to give again. We don't say that. Why do we give money? Because it is right. Not because of what we will get, but because of what? It is right. It's the right thing to do. Are you getting my point? Tie a blessing to this offering is a lie. It doesn't work. God has never given anybody the ability to tie any blessing to any offering. The tying of things together is only God that can do it. What God has joined together is what man can't put asunder. Man can't join any nonsense together. Can't join your offering to a car. What rubbish is that? You can't. No, get my point. You can't. It's not whether you should do it or you shouldn't do it. The point is that it does not work. You want to give money? Give money because it is right. And let me just, you know, one of the things that make people resistant to truth is that they've practiced it for long. You say, Pastor, total offering I have given on this project, as of today, is like half a million naira. How much do I earn? Are you telling me it was wasted? Yes, it was. And the earlier you repent, the quicker your breakthrough will come. Don't be a man who's being jobbed. You know they call jobbing a man. The subject of 419. He said, we have invested $1 million. Let's just give another 50,000 so that the money can come out. That's how you keep. Before you know, it's now 2 million. Cut your losses early. You have invested wrongly into the realm of the spirit. Christians don't give because they want to prosper. They give because it is what? Right. It's called godliness with contentment. Don't forget it. What you cannot do and forget, don't do it at all. What I mean is that if you now give, you cannot give money and forget it. You have to be attacked and say, God, how now? Good money, no. 2 days ago now, you remember now? Yeah, in that church, I dropped 50K. How far? You never germinate. So you go and meet God and say, now, well, if we don't germinate, how far would you fruit? Is that I asking? Once you do like that, you wasted it. Let me say this again. This is interesting about God. If you do what is right because it is right, you get abundant reward for it. If you do what is right because of the reward, you get nothing. It's called the killing of your seed. Now, why did I go into all of that? So when I'm saying that we cannot use natural things to plot our lives. So why do we do things that are natural? Then we do them because they are right. You should go to school, it is right. You should learn, it is right. If you go to university to learn, they will give you a certificate. It is good. It's no guarantee for success. It's not guarantee for success at all. It doesn't guarantee anything. It does not guarantee anything. Go and ask all the people who are bragging, first class, first class, first class. Go and ask who they are working for. The man hardly finished OND. Go and check it. You know I'm not lying. The people they are queuing up in their companies to get a job, most of them didn't go to those schools. Are you following the point? It's very crucial we understand it too. If you are going to school as a child of God, aim for first class, it is good. Excellence is befitting of Christianity. Are you getting my point? Because what happens is a lot of people that, because when you talk like this, they will now go, and when they're supposed to go class, they go cross leg. Are you not going for lectures? Why? Does it guarantee prosperity? Pastor Frank said it doesn't guarantee prosperity. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're not going for lectures because it guarantees prosperity. We are going for lectures because it is right. We have paid the fees, we must learn. Life is not just about trying to prosper. It's about impacting life. Charles Stanley said, blessings are not the things that mark Christianity. It's sacrifice that marks Christianity. To lay down your life for the blessing of everybody is what Christianity is about. Not to grab. So the student goes to school and aims for excellence because it is right. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That's what we mean when we are saying that we are not plotting life based on natural things, but we'll do that which is right because they are right. But our prosperity, our blessing, they are guaranteed. Those things are guaranteed because of the promise of God. So that even though we didn't have the natural things to make them happen, we will understand that the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how people will live. What it means is that their blessing, their prosperity, they are commanded by the word of God, not by the natural things around them. Natural things only flow to conform with what God has said about you. That's the believer's hope of victory. So we don't plot our life based on natural things. I said we should open somewhere. Yes, the book of Colossians chapter 1. So I said that to let us know that we are supposed to decide the sphere of life that we will live in individually. If you choose the sphere of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you activate the blessings of God therein by faith, your life will definitely experience the grace and the power of God. Colossians chapter 1. Let me just, because of time, let's not read everything. If you know, we started reading from, I think around verse 9 before, talking about the fact that he brought us out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have forgiveness of sins, he said in verse 14. And then we now went ahead and talked about the excellency of this person, Christ Jesus. And that's what we want to continue to talk about from verse 24. He said, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, this is what I preach. The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches, notice that riches, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody, please, let's repeat this with me. Which is Christ in you?
Which is Christ in you?
The hope of glory.
The
word hope refers to expectation. That is, this is how your glory will come. It is not by knowing people. It is not by working hard, naturally speaking. It is not by all the natural things you have plotted, but the manifestation of Christ in you is where your glory will come from. That is the meaning of the word, the hope of glory. Are you getting my point? There are those who, their hope of prosperity is American visa. Now, let's get practical. That is, one day, this was many years ago, a man walked up to me. He was in a church. He said, it was like he was in a hurry. He didn't need to tell me quickly. He said, Banky, American visa, American residency permit for sale, $500,000. So I'm like, why? So how does that concern me? And I turned to him, I said, even if you were to give it to me for free, as God lives, I wouldn't take it from you. How much more me coming up with $500,000 to buy it? And I said, oh, I told the wrong person. I said, I'm happy you know you did. He said, oh, I will not tell you. I said, yes, you are not supposed to tell me such crap. I should buy somebody else's American, I think a residency permit or visa, or immigrant visa, I think. I should buy it for $500,000. For what? So I might reject this blessed name that's going to turn the world upside down. So that my name can now turn to be Ferguson Ezedigbo. You know that kind of funny name, you know? Banky is anointed. The illusion that I use as a surname was given to me by God himself. I took it as an adult. The Daniel in my name is prophetic. I cannot reject those names. But for some people, they will go home and tell their father, God has opened the door. And the father said, hey, they finally gave you the job. He said, no, my friend is selling it. It's $500,000. Sell that land. Let me have it. And my problems with you, they are over. Then after 2 years, I will begin to bless you. It's called American Visa, the hope of glory. For some people, I told you once, somebody came to me and said, pray. I said, about what? Said that I will have doors opened that might go for international trials. Are you a criminal? No, I'm a footballer. He said, I'm a footballer. I said, have you gone for trials with Rangers? He said, no. Have you gone for trial with Aqua United? He said, no. So you have not gone for trials in this stadium in Enugu here? He said, no. You want me to pray that you get a visa? You're a thief. You should know that. I don't pray such rubbish prayers. I beg. Come on for there. Anybody with serious prayer points, come up. It's called International Trials of Football Play, the Hope of Glory. The man believes that once I just go, I said, go and ask, what's the Kanu Wanko? Go and ask JJ Okocha, ask Nidi George where they were playing before they went for international trial. That's why they could not have been 17 years old when they did under 17, you know. These are boys who played for Rangers for a few years. Ah, is the Rangers now taking 13-year-old boys? That just by the way, I don't say I reported anybody to you. But you and I know now, Alpha. We all know these things. What I'm saying is, I told the young man, forget, go and settle down, go home. Is it football you want to play? Go across to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium. That's our stadium is called, Abi. Yes, go up there. Go and play. If you play well for Rangers, and God wants to lift you up, one day somebody will see you while you are playing for Rangers. But for me to just come here and say, I break open the doors of international trial. I don't be that kind, Pastor. I tell people the truth. There are doors you don't need. You really don't need those doors. It's because you don't realize what is called the hope of glory. Believe me, a lot of prayers that pastors pray, they learned it. They watch somebody as a role. They watch somebody else pray it. So when you come, they give you professional prayer without reasoning. That's when they say, okay, people should line up and come and pray. I will ask you, what are you asking to me to be? I won't just say, oh yeah, I just receive it. You won't receive anything. Let's talk. What is the problem? I told you the story of a man who told me that people have been disappointing him. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a school teacher. Ah, are people disappointing you? He said, okay. No, he said, I help politicians. I said, what did you say? I help politicians. And then when they enter into office, they forget me. Yes, it's a natural thing. They always forget people. What is your normal work? You say, I'm a school teacher. I said, that's a good job. You know, because I teach both the scriptures and I teach medical students, I love it when people tell me that they are teaching. Because you have an opportunity that no banker has. You have an opportunity that nobody in an oil company has. You have an opportunity that no judge has. You have an opportunity that no president has to form people's lives with the word. Ha! And he said, it's not a job. I told him, my friend, you will go home and stop helping politicians. They don't need your help. Children need your help. What is he waiting for? After he has helped them, of course, how do you help politicians? He's not ugly. Stealing your ballot boxes. Rearranging electoral papers. Pasting your posters. Okay, maybe. But they can hire boys to do that. They don't need you. How do you... What does he say? Political office, the hope of glory. Are you getting my point? That's not Christianity. Christianity, Paul said, this is how it works. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, notice something. I told you something about modern day dark ages. All right? Now, this is where I refer to it. For that reason, verse 28, Paul said, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete or perfect in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Now, notice what I said there, verse 28. I said the problem with the dark ages. Paul said, because we know this is the hope of glory, therefore what we do is to proclaim him. We don't proclaim methods. We don't proclaim, you know, human wisdom. We don't even try to make believers rich. We don't teach them the methods of relating with the environment. You know? No. What do? We proclaim him. That is a problem in modern day Christianity. We don't proclaim him much anymore. We have all kinds of methods. I said before that if you proclaim Christ, your gospel cannot be popular amongst unbelievers. It can't be. Are you getting my point? If you are making too much sense, the unbelievers are following you without believing your Christ Jesus, you are not preaching a good gospel. You are not. If they have so many things to distill from your message without committing their life to Christ Jesus, you're not telling the truth. No, you are not telling the truth. There is something that you are not telling them. Because to the world, the gospel is foolishness. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Alright, so because what you do is that you keep on proclaiming a person. Like Derek Prince preached a series once. I said, you have to believe in Christ to continue to listen to him. He said, truth is a person. Philosophers are there trying to discover truth. And he's there preaching, truth is a person. Are you getting my point? Therefore, if I take a book, one day there's a man, I won't mention names, okay? He's part of this, our modern day Dark Ages matter. Very famous preacher. He appeared on Larry King. I watched this 1993. I know the way they will preview their, program. So, tomorrow this man's going to be on Larry King. So I kept a date with him on Larry King. So that day, as it came up, I was so excited. And the man spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. It was nice having you. Thank you very much for coming, Larry. Yes, anytime, Larry. You know the way, Larry, yes, that was nice. It was nice having me. I enjoyed having being had. What are they having? Who's having who now? Whatever it is, thanks for inviting me. I was depressed the rest of the day. Because the man spoke with Larry King for many minutes, and I didn't hear the name Christ once. And he's known worldwide for being a preacher. I said, what is this man preaching? He was talking about how to have power thoughts, how to have strong thoughts, how to organize the day and not be depressed. By the time he finished that day, my heart broke. Of course, Larry King will like him, and Larry King will call him back any day. Because Larry King does not believe in Christ Jesus. I felt very bad. That is, I was depressed. That this is, I think, 15 or 30 minutes. Because it was Larry King weekend, so they had different guests for the day. This is 15 or 30 minutes in which the whole world is watching you. You couldn't sleep in the name Christ anywhere. Now, not because you made an agreement with them ahead of time, it's because you don't contemplate him much yourself. That's why. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is the problem. That's what I mean by modern day dark ages. We will sit at home and brag, yes, our preachers are on international TV. He didn't mention anything about Christ. He said, his wisdom. What do you mean wisdom? If a doctor wants to come and talk on HIV, he will talk on HIV. We'll not say that the secrets for long life, and he won't mention the name HIV and the treatment thereof. He said, why didn't you mention? He said, it's offensive, it's wisdom. Just don't Google code, don't go there. Unless, of course, you really are not a preacher. We are misunderstanding what you stand for, and we think you're a preacher. Preachers, they declare Christ Jesus. I told this as last week that once I picked a magazine supposed to be Christian. I went; those scriptures were quoted. The name God was mentioned here and there. I don't know why they might, maybe because of the thoughts I've been having. I started looking for the name Christ everywhere and Jesus. I didn't see one. Pages and pages. I was going through it. There were sermons in there. I didn't see, I was looking for the name Christ to be mentioned. Listen, the Bible contains a lot of methods for growing your crop. You will find it there. It's in the Bible. For harvesting your field, it's there. Principles of life is there. But Paul said, what do we declare? We declare Christ and him crucified. If you don't declare him, you are not, listen to me, you are not offering people hope. You are not. The example I like to use is that of marriage. You go to these so-called advanced countries, go to America, Western Europe, divorce is so much the order of the day. Hearts are broken every day. People don't, look, even church now modified, when they saw the original vow that we used to use, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, they said no. It is for better, for best, they say it's faith. It's not faith. It is fear to make proper commitment. He said, we are standing against poverty and death. Arrant nonsense. Paul wrote to some of his church, the churches. He said, the first time, I think it was the Thessalonians. I can't remember which one of them now, briefly, please. Excuse me for that. He said, the first time we met, it was because of a bodily ailment. I was not feeling well. He talked about his co-workers that labored because of the cause of the gospel until they became sick unto death. And then they prayed and God had mercy. That's what we mean when we say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Are you getting my point? But let me not go over that again. So you see, they began to design all kinds of marriage vows. Because divorce is their reality. And books are there, plenty. This book say a lot of things on how to relate with your spouse and how to relate with your husband and all the kind of stories. And believe me, those stories are good, they are correct. But they don't heal marriages. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? You know what heals marriages? Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you want marriages that will last, you build them upon the foundation which is Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And when people are having problems, you bring them, you see, you know what Paul said? We proclaim him. We don't proclaim methods. Admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. Divorce is because of incompleteness in Christ. Are you getting my point? The problems is because of incompleteness in Christ. If you want to teach how to negotiate your way out of marriage problems to the world, I'm glad you should help them. But when it's believers, no. We expound Christ Jesus and him crucified. Every day as I grow, I realize why the gospel is foolish. The foolishness of the gospel. Because you can see a man and a woman come and say, we have been boxing for the last 2 days. You now sit down and you don't talk about who said what, to whom, on what occasion. Which is what is naturally expected. So after they sit down and say, let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are the foundation of all things. Because Jesus Christ died that we might not box again. And then after they lit up their eyes, he said, in Christ Jesus, because God will give you words at that time, there is forgiveness of sins. And as you are talking, about Christ, suddenly you are healing wounds. Because some of these boxings, all right, are caused by wounds inside that nobody is talking about. Some of them, they don't even know they are there. As you're expounding Christ Jesus, you suddenly start healing wounds. You are correcting personalities. Because if you ask them, who said who, to whom, on what occasion, I told you not to press the toothpaste in front, then not press it behind. No, that's why she's always telling me what to do and what not to do. Why should I do what she says when I know what I'm going to do? And why is she interrupting what I'm planning to do? And then we're going to say, okay, no, next time don't say it like that. He said, okay, I won't say it like that. Next time you to be patient, I'll try and be patient. Fine. Next day, toothpaste will finish. And nobody's going to correct anybody on who pressed toothpaste. The next problem will be, who carried out the soap? Pastor forgot to talk about that one. There are people that their problem is insecurity. If you expound Christ to them, suddenly their life will mean nothing to them anymore. Therefore, if you like, take away the soap and the toothpaste, they don't care. No, I'm telling you, the problem when we are trying to fix who said what to whom is because we don't know that the problems are deeper than that. They are far deeper than that. Let me just say this, by the way. I don't know, the story just keeps coming to my head. It may help one or two people. I read a story many years ago in one Christian magazine. A woman was talking about how to depend on Christ, on God for the matters of your home and everything. She said one day, one of her sons came back from school. It was a small boy, maybe like 10 years old or something. And the boy was depressed. And, you know, she tried her best to talk him out of his depression. The boy wouldn't budge. He kept on insisting. The boy kept on insisting there's nothing. She tried her best. There's nothing. Finally, it was time. It was before they sleep at night. She prays with the kids. And meanwhile, I think it has been on her mind. So she had been praying, God, help me, help me. So she had 3 children or so. They would sit together in a circle. And then she would begin to talk. Of course, the boy came with his head down. He didn't say anything. Then suddenly the woman remembered something that happened to her when she was a child. That she used to be very small statured. She had a very small size. You understand? And then people used to laugh at her, saying that she's very small and all of that. So But then maybe her mother now told her that she's going to grow one day. She'll become an adult also and all of that. You know, stories like that. So she now began to tell the story. Do you understand? As soon as she started telling the story, the boy lifted his head and started paying attention. I said, look at me today. I'm a grown adult and all of that. The little boy asked one or two questions, which showed that he had had the same problem in school. His mates had beaten him down, you get my point, with their mouth. And he was down in his mind, but he did not tell his mother. But the mother prayed, do you get my point, and just started telling his story while praying with the children of something that happened to her many years ago. What I'm saying is that what was causing the boy's problem was deeper. That is, nobody around did anything to him. But when the Holy Spirit gave her inspiration, she solved his problem, healed his wounds. Are you getting what I'm saying? Without even knowing that was the problem. I'm just explaining that so that a lot of things we are doing in life, we are healing the heart of the daughters of God's people, of my people, God said, slightly by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. You can counsel people from now till tomorrow. It won't heal their marriages. Do you know why? If they are believers, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why it is foolishness. Listen, these days, I understand it better. If anybody has problems now in life, I can declare to the person boldly, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The problem we have had, like I'm talking about the dark ages, all right, is because people, these days, you know, you're even afraid to send people to church. Because when he gets there, instead of someone telling him the fact that Christ in you is the hope of glory, he said, it is the amount of seed that you sow that brings glory into your life. The guy goes from one level of poverty to another because the little he has, you take it again. And you're not developing Christ in him. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Let's continue. So Paul said, for this reason, we proclaim him, is Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. That's what we are doing here. The more I hear these things, the more I commit myself to doing it. I don't want to gather people. Paul said, I never wanted to know anything amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified. Let it be that that's the only thing I came to tell you. Are you getting my point? God forbid that I will have you leave all the things you have to do on a Saturday evening. And you spend the money that we all contributed for airtime to be feeling good. Do you get what I'm saying? No. Christ is the center of all the messages that I will preach. Are you getting the point I'm making? The reason is because truly is the hope of the world. Now let's get down to the main thing that we're talking about. Believers. Last time I said something about Christ Jesus, let me just summarize this. When we use the word Christ, let me explain something. Because, you know, we're talking about faith basics. I need to explain this so we can tie this to what I'm talking about, the believers' hope of victory. Now, of course, we already introduced it. You see that the hope of victory is what Christ has done for you. Now, when we're talking about hope, I said it's the expectation that we have. Now, listen to this quickly. Let me say it like this. Everything that life can ever bring towards you, God already has a plan concerning it. You hear what I said? No matter how calamitous your own calamity, that's what is called the wisdom of God. God already has his wisdom concerning that calamity. No matter how hopeless you think your case is, you know the interesting part? If you open the scriptures, you read it, you will discover that God has already described accurately what you are going through. Believe me. Is right there in the scriptures. I said something before. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that they might not perish, all right? That they might have everlasting life, anybody who will believe. Now, what that means is this. We discussed that, I think it was last week. Everything that God planned as a blessing for people, all right? He put them together and said, who is worthy to take this thing? Are you getting my point? And Jesus was a lamb that was slain, and because he gave his life, all right, number one, he fulfilled the law of God perfectly. And then on top of that, he now gave his life for many. Therefore, he was worthy to take the book. That's why Christ in you is the hope of glory. The reason being that every good thing that God has in life, don't forget what I said last time, that when Isaac finished blessing Jacob, Esau came back and there was no blessing remaining. That is, every good thing in life, God has already given it to Jesus Christ. That is a matter of fact. Please, I want you to understand this. See, there's a problem. A lot of, we have that problem in Christianity. A lot of people who preach don't know the scriptures. I don't mean that as a yap anybody. Let me explain what I'm saying. There was a man, William Marion Braham. He was an evangelist and he used to do a lot of miracles, you know, lay hands on people and all of that. And that was his ministry. Then one day began to teach the scriptures. And people like Gordon Lindsay called him and told him, you don't know the Bible. And it wasn't an insult. You don't know it. Why are you trying to teach it? And of course, it caused a lot of confusion. People are still following him to today's writings. They are around in the days of the voice of the seventh archangel. That's what they call his writings. All right? William Aaron Braham. All right? So what I'm wondering is that it happens that a lot of people preach, they teach the word of God and they don't know it. And it causes a lot of confusion. Now let me say something. You see the word Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, my people, a lot in the Old Testament. Under what the Bible calls the prophets. All right? And people say that it is for the Jews. So if you want to be blessed, you will pray for the Jews that they might inherit their blessing. I don't have time to go over it. The summary of it is that it's not true. So Christians gather in America and say, we are Christians gathered in support of the Jews. I say, we are Christians gathered in support of Rwandans. What's the difference? I can organize Christians gathered in support of road transportation in Enugu. Christians can gather for anything. Don't think it's divine commandment for you to gather to support the Jews because you say the promises belong to them. No, it's not true. Quickly, open to the 2 Corinthians chapter. I think 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. This is where we are going, verse 19. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached, and that's what we preach, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but yes in him. Verse 20. For as many as may be the promises of God, in him, only in him, please, they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Please notice something. It said, as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are what? They are confirmed. And we tap into that confirmation by saying our own amen. That this is how it affects our lives. We discover the promises as we are in Christ Jesus and we say amen to them and they become our own. Did you hear what I said? You know what he said? As many as may be the promises of God. So if you flip over in your Bible from Genesis down to Malachi, if there are promises of blessings in there, the Bible says they are only yes in Christ Jesus. You know what it means? That's what I was explaining to you. That God has packaged everything and given it to one person. Any Esau that comes after this Jacob gets nothing. People tell me that, God is going to redeem the Jews, whether they believe or not. I said, that is contrary to divine character. God is not the rogue. You understand my point? Just do things anyhow, lawlessly. No, that's not how he does things. What you are telling me is that the promises of God can be confirmed outside Christ Jesus. I told you one day I was talking with a man who's supposed to be a pastor, and I was shocked. But good enough, I did not know his position when I was talking with him. Because he made a statement, I told him, don't ever say that thing again. If I knew what big a man he was, I would not have told him like that. I would have been afraid to talk to him. But because I did not know, I said, my friend, don't say that thing again. It was after he left, I said, look at who you were talking to. I said, praise God, though. At least I did not know. So I could tell him. Why? He said, any Jew that obeys the laws of Moses will be saved also. I told him, don't ever say that thing again. Why am I saying it? Because the promises of God are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. The promises of God, all of them have been given to Christ Jesus. That's what I mean. They belong to him right now. So when you are reading in your Bible, that's what I was trying to explain. They tell you that, rejoice, O Jerusalem, because no longer will you suffer. That's a promise. Are you getting my point? You know what God is saying? Rejoice, O Christ Jesus. No longer will you suffer. That's only confirmed in Christ Jesus. He's the only person that can open the book and take that promise. And he now said, if we enter into him, that's why Paul said, if that Christ is now in you, he comes into you with all the promises of God. And anyone you say amen to, that's yours. I don't know whether you heard me. That is why, like one man I was listening to, RB theme, he said, the first assignment of the believer is to know the promises of God. I'm adding my own words to it now, because without knowing them, you can't say your amen. That's why my people continue to perish for lack of knowing the promises of God. Believers' hope of victory. Listen, I said something, that there is nothing you are going through in life that the word of God has not described. Nothing. You could have had one setback, one failure after another. Nothing. You could have had one death after another in the family. Nothing. You could have had one confusion after another. Nothing. There is nothing that you are going through that the word of God has not described. This is the interesting part. God calls them the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. I hope you are getting my point. That is, anytime you read, that's how you, that, you need a Bible. You need a complete Bible. Not the New Testament. There's something that Christians say, like I tell you, a lot of people preach, they make some mistakes, alright? They say that, I don't want to know what God said to the Israelites. I want to know what he's saying to me. The word of God to the Christian is in the letters of Paul, Peter, from what we call New Testament. But it's not true. I learned that one many years ago. That is not true. Quickly, open the Romans chapter 1. Let's get this clear. You need a complete Bible. Because God has promises. No matter, look, we don't have time to go into all of them. I explained in previous times. He said, so the Jews were committed the oracles of God. God gave them to keep. Did you hear what I said? What did he do? He gave them to keep. That's why you hear the name Jerusalem, Judah all the time. My people Israel, 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 Jerusalem, Judah. He gave them to keep. Paul said to them was committed the oracles of God. All the prophets were Jews. But you know what he said? Romans chapter 1. Paul, a born servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh. Notice that. The promises were recorded by whom? The prophets. What Paul was calling the Holy Scriptures ended in Malachi. New Testament was not composed that time. Are you getting my point? I'm going to explain something. You need a complete Bible. The first day I heard somebody preach this thing to me, after that I picked the book of Isaiah, I began to read. You know, Jonathan, last Sunday, you wanted to borrow a Bible from my from my car, and I said, don't touch that Bible, it's too holy. Can you remember? What I meant is this. If you go and check it, I think it's in my car at home. The Bible is torn. The back is off. The pages are frayed. That was a Bible I began to read after I understood this revelation. So you see my book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, they are colored. You heard me quote it several times. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It's Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. That's when I discovered it. Go ahead, Isaiah chapter 49. I came to understand that no matter how I look, and one day that scripture came to me very powerfully. Let me quickly read that one to you. Isaiah chapter 45. That's how that day, Jonathan, when he said, can anybody say, no, that Bible is too holy. You can't carry it away. You know, just I abandoned it myself for a long time. Then one day I picked it up again. And all the colors I impacted into this Bible around 1997. I said, no, these colors are still fresh. So I began to read it again. Isaiah chapter 49, sorry. That's why Isaiah chapter 49 is so special to me. One day I was sitting down, I was having issues. And this word jumped to me. He said, listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. Now, this is a situation. I was in this situation. I'm still in that situation. What I mean, I'm in different phases of this scripture. Are you getting my point? He said, the Lord called me from the womb, and from the body of my mother he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has concealed me. And he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel. I told you, when you hear the name Israel, it's given only to Christ Jesus. The promises of God, Jesus has collected every one of them. And it's now for anybody who is in him who will say amen. So when I read this, I said amen. Do you understand my point? He said, you are my servant Israel. You are my servant Banky, in whom I will show my glory. But I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He said, yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, in order that Israel might be gathered to him. In fact, it describes me so perfectly. He said, because I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. What did God say to me? He said, it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up only the tribes of Jacob. That's what he was saying. And to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Let me just stop here because of time. But you see what he's saying? I'm just in verse 7 also. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers, kings shall seal and arise, princes shall also bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Now let me just tell you what this describes. There was a time that I was frustrated. You know, have you ever settled down? It looks like everybody is making progress but you. Look, everybody goes through that stage at one time in life or another. Everybody makes plans, it succeeds. Your own, it fails. Let me tell you something. You know, I keep on preaching what I'm preaching. I'm begging in Jesus' name, please believe me. It is not a witch. What did I say? They are not big enough to attack you as a child of God. Let me put it like this. If you have any problem, if it's a problem, then Christlessness is your problem. That is, to the degree that Christ is not formed in you, that's the degree to which you are having problems. Not because of witches. Hear me. You do not need any deliverance from any Obanji spirit. If you have believed in Christ Jesus, you don't have spirit husband, spirit wife, spirit children. It's only for those who are confused and deceived, or those who have not yet believed in Christ Jesus. The fact that you have one problem after another is not proof that the devil has power in your life. The only thing he can prove to me, if indeed it's a problem, is that you are not following the Christ nature that's inside you. And God is using that to call attention to that fact. Listen, let me give you an example. If you're a Christian businessman, check, do you pay your staff? Do you pay staff before you buy a car? Or you buy a car before you pay staff? There was one TV station, those days in Lagos. They were having problems. They were owing staff for months. Do you understand? Then finally, one day they got a bank loan. And the first thing they did was to buy cars. Cars. You know why? They said it is image. You first build up the image so that customers and clients will show up. They were owing staff for like 5-6 months. They couldn't spare the cost of one car just to settle the staff. Now you guys can wait too. When we have built the image and we have money, we'll pay you. I said, no, of course, they are not there today. They are not there. They are not there. They have disappeared. It's the usual thing. People like that always disappear. I worked somewhere one day. At the time, we were owing staff for like 2-3 months. When Lagos was hard, I walked to the boss. I walked to the accountant. I said, tell the boss, what me and the other colleague of mine, we earn quite a bit of money compared to the other people. So don't pay us. We'll find a way to survive till we have money. But please, all these people you are paying 900 naira, 600 naira, 1,000 naira. Why don't you just walk across with one of these banks that's our client and tell them to just give you small money. Settle them so their morale will be boosted. They can continue working. The MD happened to be a Christian who had learned some half doctrine. He said, I will never borrow. I'm a child of God, I'm the head, I don't borrow. I said, look at you, you are owing people. You say you don't borrow, you have borrowed already. Look at why you treat, just because you don't want to sign paper in the bank. You have borrowed already. I'm telling you to just shift the debt from the poor people to the rich people. And I volunteered. I said, don't pay me. I mean, how nice can a man be? I said, I'm not asking to be paid. My salary is big compared. No, jokes apart. No, I'm not exaggerating. I alone was earning salary of 10 of the other people. So I said, leave my salary out. Leave my colleague's salary out. Who was any more than me? Because she worked more. She, you know, she was any more than I was earning. I said, leave the two of us out for a while. We'll wait. But this way that you are paying 10 kobo. Why don't you just find some more money and pay them? I'm bringing another issue. There are certain things that can cause problems in the life of believers. One of them is not with you. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's things like that that God wants to correct you about. It's not witches. And now I'm going to meet a man who's more confused than you. And he knows that when people are broke, they give more offering. I hope you know that. Yes, because they are trying to come out of their poverty. There was one movie I watched by this guy. Forgotten his name for a moment now. He's an American actor. In it, he was a lawyer at the point that he started having serious problems. And one of his partners was sitting at home one day. In fact, he told them in the office, said, can you believe that yesterday I sent $200 to a televangelist? Because he was at home. And one guy was on TV saying, the reason why you ain't getting is because you ain't giving. And then he quickly took money and wired money to the evangelist on television because they're having serious crisis in the office. This is a man who never gave the gospel one dime. When people are in trouble, they give. It's called plundering widows' houses. It's one of the problems God has with the priests in Israel and prophets. They plunder the houses of widows. People are in distress, you start squeezing them dry. Now, what am I going to explain here? Believers don't have problems with the devil. There's no problem you have with the devil that you did not open a door for, one way or the other. Therefore, you cannot just get a pastor to just drive him away when you have not closed the door. Witches are not powerful enough to make the life of one of the smallest Christians miserable unless the person is not in Christ Jesus. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Because we do have issues in life. We do. And there was a time I was thoroughly discouraged because it was as if I was not around. One good wave of good came into my office and I was absent. And when I came and I was told about it, and this was a man of faith, I believed at this. I believed every good thing. And then good came. It did not hit me. He took all the unbelieving people, including the Muslims, the Hare Krishna followers. That day as I entered the office, I fell into my chair out of dejection. Then I began to pray. I said, God, what's going on? Then I was reminded of this scripture. I used to have that in my spiritual Bible, like I was telling you about, around me. So I reached for it and opened to Isaiah chapter 49. And the word of the Lord came to me strongly saying, because Isaiah was helping me to complain that this is a problem in my life. He said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. And that is, I was discouraged. What happened was that God actually had made me a select arrow. Look at verse 2. He said, but in the shadow of his hand he concealed me. He also has made a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. While I was hidden in his quiver, I began to complain. I said, I am not achieving anything. Everybody is making progress but me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But God said in effect to me, it is the season in which I have kept you in my quiver. I am not yet ready to shoot you out as an arrow. But thus says the Lord, it is too small a thing, verse 6, alright, that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. That is the vision you have right now, in which you are not making any progress, for which you are complaining, is too small compared to what I really want to do in your life. Are you getting the point? He said, I will also make you a light to the nations. Listen to this, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Let me tell you something. The major problem believers have is that they give up on God. God gives them dreams and visions. They forsook everything. When everybody was keen up for lucrative jobs and everything, or they had one, they dropped it to go and pursue their dream and vision. And for the first 2 years, things were rough. Then they said to themselves, Peter, John, I think we should go back to fishing. Then they dust their CV again and start phoning their friends. Oh boy, I still deal. Ah, what about that company now, boys? You know, in the last 2 months, NEPA hardly worked. What did man go do? What about that business now? Importation is hard right now. I'm going back to fishing. Are you getting my point? Listen, that period in which the man is hitting the quiver. Look, every life has seasons. Oh, you know, we must understand this. There is an assignment for each season. The period in which I was not going around preaching. Let me tell you, now, I may not be a celebrated preacher. I'm a celebrated preacher. Hey, man's come to town. Convoy, come and welcome me at the airport. I don't need it, all right? But the fact is that right now, I'm very busy preaching. No, really. I preach on the average 3 times a week. Most people who call themselves full-time preachers don't do as much as that. There was a time that the only way I could preach was to preach to myself. And you know the annoying part about my God in heaven? He used to do something that was very annoying. He won't even reduce the fire in your bones. That's what I mean. The zeal with which I preach now, I had it for a long time, except that you were not there to sit down and help me release it. So I would take a stroll at night and look at the birds of the air. Today I want to teach all of you about the glory of God. The songs you are singing up there, it is the glory of God. Do you know how your food comes? Because even though you do not gather into bands, you do not toil, you do not spin, but Heavenly Father has given you food. I preach to the birds and I get tired, I go back home. As God is my witness, there are times I turn to the wall and begin to preach to the wall. There's a revelation today concerning the person of Christ Jesus, the supremacy of his person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. After I speak to the wall for 10 minutes, I get tired. I go and sleep. Then one day, I met one fine girl. Then she became my congregation. How now, Foma? I'm fine. Have I preached to you about the ratification of covenant? He said, no, and I don't want to hear. That is the wife I married now. I preached to her so much she was tired. Waiting. Now since a person agreed to marry you. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Hey, it's not my fault. It was when I was hidden in the quiver. So I finally found somebody. I told you before, the book, Choices Key to Destiny, it was written out of idleness. I had nothing to do. Nowhere to preach. But the fire was burning. So I took paper and preached a whole message. 23 pages. I was just writing. When I'm finished, go to the next page. When I finished, I saw somebody going to be, give it to that young woman that I'm pursuing there. It was like a letter. Just said nothing. She even gave to other people to read. Then when I married her, she brought it back into my house. Many years later, it was published as a book. You know what? It's the most popular book that we have. Alanka? Okay, I mean, I stepped out. People buy them in 50s. Because this is what every young person should have, they think. And they keep buying them and giving out to young people. I was hidden in a quiver. Are you getting my point? Yes, that season. There was a job for the season. Oh, but honestly, that was when I read and read. I was telling, were you there then, or who I was discussing with? I said one day I went to church. I just encountered the ministry. So one day, first day I went to church. I have that message I've shared with a lot of you. Inheritance inside the new man. He preached and preached for 2.5 hours. I wanted to die. Ha! See word. Heavy, consolidated, powerful, explosive, atomic word. Oh! Of course, I booked the tape, sharp. Took it home, listened to it. The following Sunday, he preached, I booked the tape. The following Sunday, he preached, I booked. Then one day I went to church to book the tape. They said the tape recorder did not work.
Tuke, are you serious about that? That was the name of the lady in charge of tapes. I came the following service. They said the tape recorder did not work. I came the next service. They said the tape recorder had not yet been fixed. Next service, I brought the tape recorder to church. Say, what's wrong with all of you? When I was going, I had a friend, a Muslim, Taufik. I said, Taufik, I beg. This is your, I had one small, portable, sharp music set, which was recording very well. I said, Taufik, I beg. I won't carry and go to church. A Muslim. He gave it to me. If I took it, I was saying that, do I want to dash them? I said, honestly, took it, I would have dashed you, except that it's not my own. I borrow each day to bring it to church. They will record. So this is the point I'm making. Those 3 or 4 days they did not record. The message was lost, Abby. Mistake. I went home and sat down. I said, that message, now let's re-preach it. If you want, I will show it to you. More than 20 pages. I recollected the message and wrote everything down. I still have it. 20 pages. How can you lose it? For what? I'm telling you, if you want, in fact, I will bring it, if I remember, on Tuesday. I will show you the book. I still have it. There were 2 Sunday services that these people did not record. I said, okay, I will show you people. I went back home, sat down. What did he say? All right. Once I began, in fact, anointing came, come and see the handwriting. Very angelic. That was the season I was hitting the quiver. A lot of things I teach you today, that was when I learned it. Look, listen. Forget all this one that one day a brother came, one of our brothers, but he's not here now, he's gone for youth service. Well, he finished youth service, but still back there in the north where he served, working very hard. He came one day, he said he wanted to see me. I said, tell me about. See me about what? He said, he's not experiencing the blessing. I said, let me hear about it. He told the long story. About the troubles of his life. When he finished, I said, is that the problem? You think there's a problem somewhere? We need to pray to break the curse and all of that. When he finished, I said, so, is that all? I sat down. He was sitting down. I now started. I said, wait, oh. I now started giving you all my own troubles. You think you have a holler? In this town, the first time my wife was pregnant, the baby died at 34 weeks of pregnancy. You think you have troubles? Look at you. You have a holler. I have 4 children now. Handsome and beautiful children. It was because I refused to be discouraged. I said my 11 months after that pregnancy ended, Akinlu was born. That's why the boy always looked 10 years old. Because the spirit that he carries was not the one that is not of the boy that was born the day he was born. He was born years before that. It was just his flesh that was delivered later. Yes? I had been prophesying long before that. I said, oh, you have troubles. Okay, sit down. When I finished, I said, my friend, your problem is that you are spoilt. I told him like that too. I said, that's the problem with people like you. You are spoilt. Small disturbance like this. He said, who is this chasing you? Get away from here before I give you a knock on the head. He said, thank you very much, sir. I think that I needed to hear this. I said, you had better hear it and get up and go and face life. Seriously. You have small disturbance in life. You're telling me that you think they will, you know, people, they go around, a man who can't do simple accounting in his business, say, which is disturbing him. You are turning over 10 million naira per annum. And in 2010, you don't have a computer. You say, which is disturbing you? Your business is already turning over 1 million naira a month. You don't have an accountant. You say, which is disturbing you? You are stingy. You can't help people. You see customers as people to be milked. You say, which is disturbing you? I told you it is lack of Christ's life being formed in you that is disturbing you. No witch can disturb the child of God. None. The witch that wants to die early. You know, this is an easy way for witches to commit suicide. Shall I tell you? Just come and jump Banky's fence. If you're a witch, you are tired of life. Just try and attack me. This interesting part, I won't know. There are many obituaries that were created because of you. You don't know. You buy newspaper. Oh, this man has died. You don't know it's because of you he died. And you'll be mourning, say, oh, poor man. And he was a nice guy. Oh. You won't know that God killed him because of you. That's how witches die, because of me. In this life, I will go for funeral of many witches and I won't even know I'm the one that killed them. One man called Pelatia, was a bad man. He was in Israel. Jeremiah got up and began to prophesy, and the man collapsed and died. Jeremiah himself ran. Jeremiah disappeared. I said, God, what are you trying to do? You want to kill everybody in Israel? Jeremiah didn't mention his name. He just said, thus says the Lord, I shall build you. As he was talking, you hear Boza. One man, you're coming. Hey, listen to me. If you're having problems or challenges in life, forget it. It's not because of any witch. That's what I'm going to explain. I read this scripture, and it was an encouragement to my soul. And God said, Banky, don't worry. Whatever it is you are dreaming of right now is too small compared to what I want to do. It is just that this is the season in which I'm hiding you in my quiver. Don't worry. I took encouragement. I shook my head, and I knew that indeed, prosperity is my portion. Advancement is my portion. Success is my portion. Victory is my portion. Why? Because God has promised it. And in Christ Jesus, I have said, Amen. Let me tell you, the only job the devil has is to discourage you. NEPA, take light. It was designed to discourage you. Are you getting my point? All the bad roads, they are designed. Let me tell you, this life, we are not all the same in this life. You must understand it. We are not all the same. God can put trouble in the neighborhood and allow trouble in the neighborhood as temptation to see whether you'll be discouraged. And there are 10,000 people living there. That is why I said before, if you see calamity, pray. Don't behave as if we are plenty. We are not plenty. You know, if you're around on Tuesday, we face the case of Ebonyi State and Plateau State. Don't think that there are people in Ebonyi who break. Because they are, you are not sure. Banky, you don't think you are sure. All the calamities surrounding Enugu. I'm waiting for people like you to do something. You are not an average person at all. If you're a child of God, I told you before, Job, he has servants. The servants had wives and children. Yet when the servants died, what did they say? They said Job was being tempted. You kill a family man because you want to tempt somebody else. What does that tell you? They're not. God doesn't see them as equal people. So please, the trials of life. So if roads spoil, yes, God has said something about the roads that spoil in the place that you pass. Is there? Sometimes your job to start prophesying upon the road. Thus says the Lord, I shall bring down the hills and elevate the valleys, and I shall make a plain road so that my glory might be revealed. They say, are you the only one that travels on the Chato Enugu? Say, sit down there. I'm the only one that's important. Listen, look, I'm telling you. Look, one day, Kingsley told me that he began to prophesy also. Then one day he came home and saw that the road to his village was being done. He said, yes, prophecy is working. You may say, you're not the only one from that place. Doesn't matter. God will tar road for one person's sake. I know what I'm saying. In fact, the reason why God scatters people everywhere is so that he can bless those people in their scattered way. So that the blessings can affect a lot of people that don't have faith. That's why I tell you, spiritual drain is worse than brain drain. This Nigeria is condemned to prosperity. Do you understand? I preached a message many years ago on radio. I called it the sentence of life. You know, there's a sentence of death. And I called my own the sentence of life. This is the judgment and the condemnation in quote we have placed upon Nigeria. Prosperity. Yes. Listen, go and tell all your uncles who don't want Nigeria to prosper that they will soon die. You say, why? Say, Banky is prophesying. I hope you are getting my point. What am I emphasizing? You are not an average person. No? Witches are not your problem at all. If there are temptations or trials in life, don't think they are general. Pick your Bible and begin to read. You need a Bible and you need a colored pencil. Because as you read, you know, that's why you can never finish reading. This is when I see the name Christ. It makes a new meaning to me. Why? Because I'm talking about the fact that he has inherited all the promises. So anytime I see the name Christ and the promises of God, it starts connecting. Are you getting my point? Now, I will leave his phase in life. I go into another phase. Maybe I'm raising children. Like I have children now, they are growing. In a few years, I'll have teenagers. All right? There are scriptures that describe the promise of God concerning my children. So when I start reading, I get another colored pen. You start coloring. Because suddenly those scriptures become obvious to you. You understand? They start speaking to you. A man is starting business, there are scriptures that describe trials in the beginning of a business. When you are reading it, they start talking to you. Listen, once you see a promise, you say, ah, Jesus has collected this one too. And since I'm in Christ Jesus, I shout my own what? Amen. It's mine. That's what I mean by believer's hope of victory. We'll talk about it again further next time. There's nothing you are going through in life that God has not spoken a word about. And if you will say amen to the word that God has spoken concerning your situation, then the glory of God will be manifested. We'll talk about that further next time. Let us pray.